Good morning. Today's daf in Sota is Yud Gimel and Yud Beis Amud Beis. Once again, thank the Masses family from West Orange, New Jersey, sponsoring the entire Masechta, learning Ushabi, Lezecher Nishmas, Nehemiah ben Abraham. We are going to pick up right where we left yesterday, Yud Beis Amud Beis, and more Midrashim. Midrash Magarata over the course of yesterday, today, last couple of days, and all based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Mida Keneged Mida. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates is that measure for measure. Everything comes in measurements, in terms of schar va'onish, in terms of reward and punishment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates on a schedule of mida keneged mida. The Gemara points out that when it comes to ra'ah, in terms of God giving mida keneged mida retribution, so there it's measure for measure and weighed the same. However, with letova, but when it comes for good, so it's mida keneged mida, but you get a greater return on your investment. Okay, just more return on your investment. And one of the classic examples that was given in the Mishnah was Miriam. Miriam waited by Moshe as Moshe was being sent down the Nile. So Mida Keneged Mida. So the Jewish people waited for Miriam, and they waited a lot longer than Miriam waited. So Miriam waited a little bit, and the Jewish people waited a week. Okay, so that is now the Mida Keneged Mida when it comes to Tova. So with that stated, we're going to now, the Gemara has been launching into a series of Midrashim, darshaning from the beginning of Sefer Shmos, beginning of Parsha Shmos. We've covered a good part of Perek Aleph. We covered a good part of Perek Beis. And here we are still in Perek Beis. Vatamar Choso Abbas Paro. You want to find us, Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It is the first words in the line. Vatamar Choso Abbas Paro. So the sister said to Bas Paro, "Elech v'karas lecha isha meinekas minivrios." So I'm going to find you now someone to nurse the baby, and a Jewish woman. So umayshna meivrios. So the Gemara's question is very simple, meaning at that point in time when Miriam goes over to Bas Paro, so why is Bas Paro open to the idea of her of this baby nursing from Jewish women? Meaning Bas Paro probably looked for a wet nurse from the Egyptians. So Malamishech Zir Lamosha Al Kol Amitzios Kulan. And so the Gemara's explanation is that she tried. Bas Paro tried to have this baby nurse from Egyptians. Velo Yanak, but Moshe refused. So Amar Pesh Asila Dabre Mashchina Yenek Davertame. So and the argument is again the argument. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, Moshe is an infant at this point in time, but still, in other words, there was this awareness, this understanding that he was going to be speaking peh el peh, mouth to mouth with the Shekhinah, and so so as a result of that, he's not going to be ingesting any non-kosher. Obviously, anything that the mother eats is going to be filtered and end up going to the baby. So, with this understanding, so Moshe just simply refused to nurse from a non-Jew. V'ahinu d'chsiv is mi yoredeya. So lemi yoredeya, lemi yavin shmua, legmule mechav la'atike mishadayim. And so, in other words, that which you ingest is going to help you in terms of your understanding. Okay. Obviously, the Gemara is to be understood on many levels and much deeper levels. But anyway, we're going to continue. We're in Perek Beis in Shmos, meaning we are in Sota Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, but as we're darshaning, we're now continuing in the second Perek of Shmos, and now we're up to Pasuk Ches, Vatamala Bas Paro. So, and Amar Abelazim Malam Mishacha B'Zuzuz Kama, let me read the rest of the Pasuk. So you understand what the Gemara is darshaning. Vatamala Bas Paro, the Pasuk reads, Vatelech Ha'alma, Vatikra Esema Yeled. So the Alma goes. Alma is a description of a young woman, meaning that's a description of Miriam. But the Gemara darshan's Amar Rebbe Lazar Malamishacha Bezuzus Kama. So she ran with full force. Amar the Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Ha'ama She'ali Mustavareha. So another interpretation of Alma is from the word Elaim, meaning mysteries, hidden. And what did Miriam hide from Bas Paro? Basic information, notably who she was. In other words, she didn't tell Bas Paro that she was the sister of this baby. And nor did she tell her that the Jewish woman that she's going to get to nurse this baby is going to be Moshe's mother. Okay, one of the big mysteries, which I'm not sure if it's such a mystery, but one of the big mysteries is Moshe and his knowledge of his own identity through his childhood in Mitzrayim. Did he know he was Jewish? Did he not know? The Torah is not abundantly clear about that point. However, Our Gemara is one clue. There are many clues. But our Gemara is but one clue. And at least based on the most recent drasha that we just saw in the Gemara, so Miriam didn't identify. Now, the Gemara also says, by the way, in other words, there are many clues to look at. The Gemara also says that Bas Parah recognized immediately that this was a Jewish baby, notably the Bris Mila. That kind of gave it away. But that doesn't answer the question about Moshe's knowledge about his own identity. But again, I don't think it's much of a mystery, but I definitely think it's worth a discussion, which we're not going to have. But so the Gemara now is darshaning. This is the next pasuk tes, and Bas Parah says heilichi when handing over Moshe the baby to what turns out to be Moshe's very own mother to nurse him. So she says the words heilichi, and the Gemara darshan. Tam Rabbi Chaba Rabbi Chanina misnaba meina yedas ma misnaba heilichi ha shalichi, meaning that Bas Parah is prophesizing. She doesn't know it. But when she says the words heilichi, could be understood as a contraction of heilichi. This is yours, because it is her baby. And the Gemara gives us another drasha. Not only does the tzaddik get back that which they lost, but they even get paid for it as well. Meaning, consider now that Cheved is nursing her own baby and getting paid to nurse her own baby, and that is going to be the reward of a tzaddik, or in this case, a tzaddikus. Vatikach Miriam and Nevi'ah Achos Aaron. Okay, so now fast forward. Okay, so this is Parshas Beshalach. This is by Oz Yosher, the Shira that was sung by both the men and the women, in response to the Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, in terms of its timely nature, it's almost perfect, meaning that's tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be laning Az Yashir on Shvi Shul Pesach. But meanwhile, however, Avatikach Miriam Anaviyah Achos Aharon. So she is the sister of Aaron, and the Gemara asks the obvious question. What a funny way to describe her, the sister of Aaron. She's also the sister of Moshe. So Achos Aaron v'lo Achos Moshe, the Gemara asks exactly that question. Amarav Amram, Amarav Amri la Amarav Nachman Amarav Malamisha Haisa Misnav'a Kishi Achos Aharon. Meaning that her history of being a Neviyah, that goes way back, all the way to the time when she was only the sister of Aaron. Meaning, consider. In other words, there was a time where it was just Miriam and Aaron, and that was it. And still, she was giving Nevuah back then, even though she was extraordinarily young at that point in time. We're on the very top of Yigim Lamed Aleph, the Omeris, and what she would say was, Asidi Mishatele Ben Shemoshe Yisrael. And already she was making the call. My mother is going to be giving birth to the savior of the Jewish people. Moshe was born. The house was alit. Amram goes over, gives his daughter a kiss on the head and says, "You're right. Beautiful. Well done." And then when it came time where they had to throw Moshe into the Nile, not knowing what is going to result from that, so then Amram hits his daughter over the head and says, "Okay, where's your nevuah now?" Now, it's a little bit strange, this particular drasha that we just learned together. In other words, it certainly seems to be a little bit flippant, as Amram seems to be kind of reactionary to, doesn't seem to be trusting the nevuah. Okay, and whatever, it definitely is an oddity. And so as Miriam is now following the basket down the river, the Gemara's understanding is that really what she wants to see is whether or not her Nevuah is going to be correct or not. Yosef Zacha. Okay, we're on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and now we can pause for just a moment as now we're going to turn the page. Okay, and what are we doing over here? We're going over the Midah Keneged Midah of the Mishnah. So we went in long order, right, more than 2 days of the daf, going over how it was Midah Keneged Miriah. Miriam waited for Moshe by the Nile, and so therefore the Jewish people waited for Miriam. Okay, good. So that was Midah Keneged Midah, and then the Gemara launched. And it was a lengthy discourse of the Gemara regarding Miriam, Moshe, Nile, the beginning of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Well, first the Shibud, then Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that was long. And now, as we are embarking on today's daf, Gimel Amud Aleph, so the Gemara now is going to turn its attention to the next Midah connected Midah of the Mishnah, and that's going to be by Yosef. So Yosef took care of his father in terms of Kfura, and so therefore, Midah connected Midah, who's going to take care of Yosef in terms of his own Kfura? So that's going to be Moshe. And so, here we go. A lot of today's daf is going to be hovering around this particular topic. Yosef Zacha Maishna Meikara Dichsi Vayal Yosef Likbor Zavi Vayal Uito Kolav De Paro. So, Vahad Vachol Beis Yosef Echav Uveis Aviv. So how do we know that the burial of Yaakov was taken care of by Yosef? So the Gemara says, just read the Psukim. It's clear in the Psukim that Yosef goes to bury his father. And then the next Pasuk, this is all the last Perek of Bereishis. It's all Perek Nun. So the very next Pasuk, we just read Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches, V'chol Beis Yosef Echav Uveis Aviv. And then all the others came along as well. The entire family came as well. But in terms of responsibility of who buried, so it's going to be Yosef. Yosef buried his father. Umayshal Lebesof Tichsev Ayasem Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim Ahu V'Echav Ahadar V'chol Alim Etolik Bar Saviv. And in terms of going back, so Yosef went back together with all of his brothers, meaning Yosef clearly was a leader at the time. I mean, see, the point of the Gemara seems to be self-evident, meaning it was obvious that Yosef was a leader, but still, even just a critical reading, right, the careful reading of the Psukim would indicate that Yosef bore the responsibility. Amar Rav Yochanan b'tchila ad shelo ra'a b'chvodan sheYisrael, lo nagu bahem kavod. So the Ulavisof Shiro Bikvodan Nagubem Kavod. And the Gemara notes that if you look carefully over here at the Psukim, you will see that more honor was given to the brothers after the Kfura of Yosef. Meaning again, side by side comparison of those two Psukim. In the first Pasuk, in Pasuk Zion, so Vayal Yosef Likbor Zaviv, Vayalu Ito Kolav De Paro, and only afterwards the brothers are mentioned. So in other words, it's basically Yosef, right? The entourage of Yosef, and then the brothers. And then on the return, you'll notice, very next pasuk, Yosef and his brothers, and then the entourage. So in other words, basically the brothers got lifted up in terms of stature. And the Gemara says, yeah. In other words, because what happened was is that when they went to go bury Yaakov, so all the Egyptians saw that Yaakov was not a small deal. By the way, again, reading the Psukim, you knew that already. That the Mitzrim understood that Yaakov was a big deal when he came down. But still, once they saw the burial, and once they saw how big a deal Yaakov was, all of a sudden, oh, you're the children of Yaakov? So everyone got lifted, everyone got elevated. Dirchziv, and the Gemara now wants to know, what exactly happened at the burial that the Mitzrim discovered how big a deal Yaakov was? So Dirchziv, Ayevo ad Goren ha'atad, v'chi Goren yesh la'atad. So they went to Goren HaAtad. Now, the simplest way to understand is Goren HaAtad is just simply the name of a place. But the Gemara understands in the following. Goren is a granary. Atad are thorns. You don't have thorns in the granary. So the Gemara goes on to explain. So Amar Rabbi Abba Malamishi Kifu Kisarim La'aron Asher Yaakov Kigoren Zeshem Akifalo Atad. So just like the granary is going to be surrounded by thorns, meaning there are not going to be thorns in the granary, but rather it's going to surround. So too, all the nations came over to pay their respects to Yaakov, and they all surrounded. Shabo, b'nei Esau, b'nei Shmuel, b'nei Keturah. So now it happens to be that's all Mishpacha, but still, in other words, the leaders of Esau, Yishmael, and Keturah, so they all came to pay honor. Tana kulam lemuchama ba'u kevish arau kisro she Yosef tala ba'arona she Yaakov. Na lu kulam kisrei mutulam ba'arona she Yaakov. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says that really their original intent in terms of arriving was to war and to clash. But meanwhile, they saw the crown of Yosef on the Aron of Yaakov. So they all took their crowns and they also put it on the Aron of Yaakov. Tana Shoshim Vishisha Kisarim Nidlu Baron of Yaakov. And Braisa says that there were 36 in total. 36 crowns that crowned the Aron of Yaakov Avino. Now, the number 36, the Gemara doesn't go through it. Rashi over here spends time in today's daf going through how we get to the number 36. See Rashi, it's not that easy to get to that particular number. See Rashi over here who endeavors to get exactly to the number 36. We go on. Tanukulam, no, I just read that. Vayispadu sham mispe gadol v'kaved me'od. And there was a tremendous eulogy, Tana afilu susim v'afilu chamorim. Horses and donkeys also were involved in the eulogy. The Gemara does not mean that the horses and the donkeys were eulogizing, but rather what it means is that it was such a mournful period that they even dressed the horses and the donkeys in a manner in which it looked like it was a procession, it was a funeral procession. In other words, it was given the full regale of a funeral procession. The Gemara now is going to be telling us more of the Mesorah, more tradition, more Medrash. This one, I think we all know. Various versions of the upcoming Medrash that we all know. So let's go. So they arrive at Maris HaMachpelah in order to bury Yaakov. Of course, we know that Yaakov is going to be the fourth of the pairs that are going to be buried in Maris HaMachpelah. So also Esav Kama Akiv. And so Esav is trying to stop the procession. Esav himself does not want Yaakov buried in Maris HaMachpelah. In fact, Esav himself wants to be buried there. Mamre Amar Lahem, sorry. So Amar Lahem, so he said to them, meaning this is now Esav talking. Mamre Kiris Arba Yichevron Vamre Abitza Kiris Arba Arba Zukos Hayu. Adam Vachav Arba Masari Yitzchak Verivka Yaakov Aleyah. There were four pairs that are destined to be buried over there. Ihu Kavar Laleya Bididei. So, Esav's argument is as follows. Yaakov buried Leah, and where did Yaakov bury Leah? In his portion. V'hai depaish didi, who? But that means to say that now Yaakov is no longer here, which means that he has yarshined over his next spot, and since he yarshined over his next spot, and since I'm the oldest, Esav is arguing, therefore that spot belongs to me. Amr Leah Zavinte. So, B'nai Yaakov says, yeah, but you know what? We know the story. At 15 years of age, so what you did is that you sold your portion over to Yaakov. Right? We're all familiar. So Amr lehu nehi dezvina bechirta pshita mizvina. So Esav counters and Esav says, "Look, you're right. There was a sale over there, but I only sold the second portion, the double portion. I'm still entitled to my principal portion of the Yerusha." So Amr lein. So dichsiv. Their counter argument is no, that he sold everything. In other words, in the deed of sale, so what you sold to Yaakov was your entire portion. And Asher Karisi, now Asher Karisi can be understood as the part that I dug out, but the Gemara's understanding now is Asher Karisi is that you sold. How do I know that the word Karisi means sold? Next words of the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yaakov Tzadok. So Ein Kira Ela Mechira, the word Kira is connected to sale, shekein bekar chayam, because overseas, so karen lemechira kira. So the word mechira can sometimes be used as kira. Now, by the way, in terms of shorish amila, so kira is included in the word mechira. I mean, generally we assume that there are three letters for every shorish, right? Major debate amongst the early Rishonim. But generally we assume so, and if the shorish of mechira is memchaf resh, so kira is two of the three letters. So just from a shorish standpoint, it works. And on top of that, also in parlance, and just in the colloquial speak of how they spoke, so people would say, instead of saying the word mechira, they would say kira. It's acceptable. So amalu avalu igarta. So Esav says, okay, let's see the paperwork. Meaning you claim that that all this is written out. So let's see the paperwork. Now, this is pretty classic. In other words, this exists until this day. Where's the paperwork? It's not here. It's up. The paperwork is elsewhere. So Amr lei garta bar de Mitzrayim hi. So they said, look, we left the paperwork back in Egypt. Okay. Uman nezel naftali dekala ki ayalaita dechsev naftali ayala shlucha. I know the name is Shafer. So Naftali, who was compared to Ayala, and Ayala, a deer, gazelle, one of those. So anyway, so Amr Rabbi Abal tikrei im Shafer ella imre sefer. So now, when Yaakov gave the bracha to Naftali, he said Imre Shafer, but we're going to now understand midrashically that it can also be connected with the word Imre Sefer, meaning he's the one who's going to bring the book over here, meaning the paperwork. All the paperwork that contracted that Esav did in fact sell the entire portion over to Yaakov. So now Naftali is tasked with the responsibility of running back to Mitzrayim in order to get the paperwork, but he's very fast. Chushim Berei Dadan. And the story continues in this part of the episode again. Famous. I have a good feeling that everyone knows this. Chushim was the son of Dan, right? When the Torah goes over the genealogy, so Chushim had one son, meaning as opposed to the other Shvatim had many sons. Binyamin, for example, had 10 sons. So Yosef had two. All right. In other words, obviously arranged, but Dan had only one, and his name was Chushim. So Taman Hava, so he was there. In other words, obviously, he went up to Beri Yaakov. The current lay Udne, and he was unable to hear, meaning he was deaf. So literally the expression is his ears are heavy, but it's obviously the expression over there. It's a polite way to say that he can't hear. So Amrlu Umay Hai. Amrlu Kama Akev Hai. So he's trying to understand what's going on. In other words, because he can't hear, so obviously he did not fully understand what was happening. So with somebody explained to him, again, how they communicated back then, however they did so. But what was trying to explain to him is that they were pointing to Esav and said, look, he's holding everything up. So Ada asked Naftali Ma'ar de Mitzrayim. And again, somehow they communicated to him that we're waiting for Naftali to get back from Mitzrayim with the paperwork. So Amr Lahu, Va'ada Asay, Naftali Ma'ar de Mitzrayim, Yehi Abba, Avi Abba Muta Bibizayon. And he just couldn't understand. He couldn't fathom. Meaning, what are we doing right now? We're waiting for paperwork in order to bury our grandfather? That's crazy. In other words, our grandfather needs to be buried. So Shaka Kulpa, Machia Resha. So what he did is he took a stick and he hit Esav right over the head. And also Esav and Naflu Akara de Yaakov. The eyes of Esav fell out. In other words, it was such a blow. It was such blunt trauma that Esav's eyes just popped right out of his head. And those eyes landed Akara de Yaakov by the feet of Yaakov. Paskin Yaakov Leine Vachich. Yaakov opened up his eyes, and Yaakov laughed. Yismach sad v'hainu dechsev, yismach sadik, ki chaza nakam pa'amav yirchatz b'dam arasha. The pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun Ches, pasuk describes that the sadik is going to rejoice when he sees the downfalling of the rasha. Ba'oso shan niskaima nivoso shal Rivka. And Rivka was right. And Rivka said it years earlier. And she said it b'derech nevuah. And the pasuk says, "Dichsiv lama eshkol gam shnechem yom echad." I don't want to lose the two of you on the same day. And meanwhile, the two of them died on the same day. Va'avagav demisasam lo biyom echad havai. Now, So, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. And that is that they didn't die on the same day. Meaning Yaakov has already been dead for some time. However, they're going to be buried on the same day. Kvorasam yabi yom echad havai. So Rivka was right in the fact that they are going to share a day together. Happens to be the day of burial. Okay, so the Gemara goes over the episode of the burial of Yaakov and the delay of the burial of Yaakov and Naftali going and getting the paperwork back from Mitzrayim and Chushim ben Dan giving Esav the death blow. Esav was trying to hold back the funeral. Chushim ben Dan going ahead and putting an end to that. So the Gemara says now, had Yosef not been involved in the burial, so you don't think the others would have taken care of it? So the pasuk says, "Vayisu oso banav arza kanan." They all went. So Amru hinichulo kvodo b'malachim Yosef mebehejotos. So basically, the brothers deferred. In other words, the brothers recognized that, look, of course, we would have done it. And it goes without saying. But meanwhile, however, in other words, Yaakov deserves honor. And honor would dictate that the king should be burying him. And if the king, in other words, their brother Yosef is a king, vice or a king. So in other words, so their deferment of burial is based on the fact that they felt that this would be more kavod to their father that Yosef be involved in the burial. Okay, now we go back to the Mishnah. So in other words, so it's Mida Keneged Mida. So Yosef buried Yaakov. So now, who buried Yosef? Moshe Rabbeinu. So next leg of our discussion. So Tan Rabbanan Bar Kama Chavivas Mitzvah Al Moshe Rabbeinu Shekol Yisrael Kula Nisasku Bebiza V'hu Nisasik BeMitzvah Shenemar Chacham Levi Kach Mitzvos. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says, look, as we were leaving Mitzrayim, so what were the Jews involved in? Basically, getting money. Vayashilu es Mitzrayim. Right? They exploited the Egyptians. In other words, it was time to finally get paid back for all those years of labor. So, and the Jews were entitled, and more than entitled, by the way. In other words, the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham is that we're going to leave Berechush Gadol. It's good that we just had the Seder less than a week ago. So, you know, I got to review the Pesukim. Good. So there was a promise made. So it's not, the Gemara is not being critical of the Jewish people for taking the money, right? They were entitled and they were promised. It just happens to be that the Gemara is just highlighting how laser focused Moshe was. That, in other words, there was all this money opportunity, but Moshe was focused on and taking care of the remains of Yosef. How did Moshe know where Yosef was buried? Yosef was buried hundreds of years earlier. And how did Moshe know? I say hundreds, by the way. That may not be numerically accurate. In other words, they were there for 210 years in Egypt proper. I know 400 and 430. There are ways to negotiate those numbers, but let's just assume that they were there for 210. Yosef lived in those 210 and died within those 210. So, okay. The number's probably less than 200 in terms of how many years ago Yosef was buried. Regardless, how did Moshe know where he was buried? So the Gemara now is going to give us another medrash. And again, I would suggest that you probably heard this medrash as well. So Amru Serech Basosh and Ishtar Meose Ador. So who's the survivor of that first generation? Right? In other words, who's been there that long? Serech Basosh. Serech, the daughter of Asher. V'alach Moshe Etzel. She was, by the way, she was Yordim Mitzrayim. In other words, of the 70 people that were counted who went down to Egypt, so she was one of them. So she's been there the whole time. And yes, that puts her in old age. Halach Moshe Letzahamar lo klumat yodad hechen Yosef kavur. So Moshe asked Serach. So do you know where Yosef is buried? Amar lo. Aron shamatecha sasolam etzrayim ukavur benilas anar kedeshi yisparchu meimav. She says, I'll tell you what the Egyptians did. They buried Yosef in a metal casket, and they buried it in the Nile River, and they figured as follows, meaning all those years that Yosef was alive, so the Nile was Mizbarech, it received a bracha, so they figured that by putting his remains in the Nile as well, we'll continue giving that bracha to the Nile. Halach Moshe v'amar asfas anilos amar lo Yosef, higia ha'eis, shenishba kash baruch hu shani gol aschem, So now Moshe goes to the edge of the Nile, makes a petition, and he calls out to Yosef and he says, now's the time, Geula is coming. And look, I know we promised that we're going to bury you in Eretz Yisrael, but we don't know where you are. And if you present yourself, great, and if not, so we're going to be exempt from our Shavua. So miyad saf aron shal Yosef, and the aron of Yosef floated to the top. Ve'altit ma'hech barzel saf. Now it's made out of metal, and specifically barzel iron, and iron doesn't float, right? The Gemara says that shouldn't be an issue over here. Shareksev. Now it says regarding the students of Elisha, what they did is they cut a piece of wood. They cut a piece of wood. Oh, the Gemara is going to quote a lot of the pasuk over here, Malachim Beis. I'm going to read quickly. Vayech and Mapila Korah, Vesabarzel Nafal El Hamayim, and then just continuation quoting the pasuk. So Aha Adoni Vahu Shaul, Vayomer Yishalokim Anan Nafal Vayeros Amakom Vayiksav Eitz Vayishlach Shama Vyatzaf Arbarzel. So basically, what they did is they threw wood into the water and. Starts the iron starts floating to the top. Now this is regarding Elisha, who is a student of Eliyahu, Eliyahu Tamid of Moshe, and Eliyahu was a student of Moshe. Now this is not direct Rebbe student, Rebbe Talmud, because Eliyahu lives well after Moshe Rabbein. Although I know you can connect. In other words, Eliyahu could be Pinchas, and okay, it's connectable. It doesn't matter. In other words, the point, of course, is that. The Mesorah of the Torah is coming, Moshe, Eliyahu, Elisha. And Tzav Barzel Mipanav Mimnei Moshe Rabbein Alach has come of Vakama. So if the floating iron floated for Elisha, so for sure it's going to be floating for Moshe as well. Rabbi Nassan Omar, okay, so basically how was the discovery of Yosef's casket come to Moshe? So answer number one of the Gemara is Nes, Alidei Nes, right? It was in an iron casket and it was on the bottom of the bed of the Nile, but it floated for Moshe. Rabbi Nazan Omer, bikarbanit shel malachim hayakavar. A second opinion in terms of where the remains of Yosef was being buried. So we just went through one opinion that it was on the bottom of the Nile. The Gemara is now quoting another opinion, a second opinion, that is where the kings were buried. So Alach Moshe v'Amar al karbanit shel malachim. Amar Yosef higia eis. So once again, same depiction. Moshe going and basically speaking to the remains and saying, look, it's time to go. So now you have to reveal yourself. And apparently, the Gemara doesn't give us a visualization over here, but if I can try to give a visualization, in other words, the king's cemetery also was not clearly marked who was buried where. And once again, Moshe again had to make that same petition. Yosef's Aaron started shaking. Not Lumosha via via slow. And so Moshe obviously at that point knew exactly which one belonged to Yosef. And so now, as they were traveling through the desert for those 40 years, there were two Aronos who traveled side by side, the Aron of Yosef and the Aron, right? The one we call the Aron, the one with the Luchos. And so as passerby saw the sight of Bnei Yisrael traveling through the Midbar with the two Aronos, so they asked a simple question, Mativan, what's going on? So echad shel meitz ve'echad shel shechina. One belongs to Yosef, the other one to shechina. So v'chim adarko shel meitz alechim shechina. And so the obvious issue, which is, that's weird, right? That seems strange. So amru, so they say, we're on the top of the amud beis. Yud gim amud beis. Ki imzeh kama shekasa bezeh. This one, meaning referring to the remains of Yosef, fulfilled everything that which is stated in here, meaning in the Aron. In the Aron are, of course, the luchos. The luchos are a template, right? Of all the mitzvahs of the Torah, this one fulfilled everything that was in that. This one in this Aron fulfilled everything that's written in this Aron. Okay. V'ilo asak be Moshe Yisrael avim askebe. Again, a similar question that we asked earlier in today's daf, and that is if Moshe would not take care of the Atzmas Yosef. You mean to tell me no one else would have taken care of it? So v'as atzmos Yosef v'aksiva. So v'as atzmos Yosef asher alu b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim kavur b'shchem. So they buried it in Shechem. So in other words, just the Gemara is just reminding us, you know, Moshe didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael. Right? We all know. And so obviously what Moshe had to do was basically had to pass the baton to the next to the next generation so that the Jewish people are going to be burying. So the Jewish people were prepared to take the atzmos Yosef. So Vesu, and furthermore, Yalaskube Yisrael Banavilohava Maskabe Vaksiva, you live ne Yosef Lanachala. And the next generation would have done it, meaning somebody would have done it, somebody would have taken care of it. So Amru, Hinicholo, Kvoto Bimaru, Bim Yosef Bimutim. So again, a similar answer that we saw already earlier this morning. And that is that the Bnei Yosef, the actual children of Yosef said, look, more honor. It's more honor for the great people to be taken care of it, meaning Moshe should be taking care of it. Visu Amru, Inicho Lo, Kvodo, Bigadolim, Yosef Mibikitanim. Okay. So basically, they deferred. They deferred the honor of the burial of Yosef to be done by Gedolim, to be done by the greats, meaning Moshe takes care of it. It's just simply more kavod. Good. Adkan. The Pasuk says that they buried Atzmos Yosef in Shechem, right? This is the end of Sefer Yoshua. This is the last chapter of Yoshua, Chav Dalet, 24 Prakim of Yoshua, and we are here in Perek Chav Dalet. So what did they do? They buried the remains of Yosef in Shechem. Mai Shna B'Shechem. Gemara asks the simple question, why Shechem? Am Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanan M'Shechem Ganvua. They stole him from Shechem. Meaning, remember that he went to Shechem, and that's where they stole him. Now, it's always funny, by the way. In other words, Shechem gets a bad rap, now mostly deserved. But remember what happened when Yosef finally made it to Shechem? So he was rerouted. So whatever. In other words, it's my own small curiosity that he wasn't really sold in Shechem, meaning he was sent to Shechem, but ultimately he was then rerouted to Dothan, and there he was sold. But still, in other words, since basically, Shechem is where he was, it is his first stop before his sale down to Mitzrayim. So since he was stolen in Shechem, so b'Shechem ganvuhu, Shechem nachzir avedaso. So that's where he's going to be returned. He's going to be returned back to Shechem. Kashukray adade ksiv v'yikach Moshe esatz Moshe Yosef imo uksiv v'esatz Moshe Yosef asher halu b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so obviously two different versions of who was responsible for the burial of Yosef. So on one hand, going back to Shmos in Parshas Beshalach, it says that Moshe took Asmos Yosef. But then the pasuk we just cited in the Navi in Yoshua. So B'nai Yisrael is getting credit. Who deserves the credit? So the closer. Okay, it's true in business. It's true in mitzvahs as well. The one who closes the deal, that person is going to be receiving all the credit. And I know already. I can already foretell, right? The feedback I'm going to get. It's not fair. Right, Moshe would have closed the deal had he been given permission to go into Eretz Yisrael. He was not given permission. He was not granted permission to go into Eretz Yisrael. So over here, it seems to be that the Gemara is somewhat being unfair in that Moshe, he didn't close the deal. Yeah, he didn't close the deal. He wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and that's a fair comment, and I'm not even really sure how to respond. I just, my predictive abilities are that good that I know that question's coming. It's an obvious question. Anyway, Rabbi Elazar Omer Af Maridin Oso Migdula So Dichsiv Ahi Ba'is Ahi Vayered Yehuda, and the Gemara is extraordinarily critical of starting a job but not finishing the job. So number one, we just learned that you don't get full credit. The Gemara says it's worse than that. In other words, you start a job but you don't finish the job, so you get demoted. Okay, again, by the way, it's funny. It's like in the business world, that's how it works. And the Gemara says, in the mitzvah world also, that's how it works. Remember, Yehuda said, let's go save Yosef, right? They're about to sell him, or actually, they were about to kill him. And Yehuda's like, let's save him. So Yehuda started the job. But, as we all know, Yehuda didn't finish the job. So in other words, started but didn't finish. He didn't close the deal. And so because he didn't close the deal, he got a demotion. So the Gemara says, aside from the fact that you don't get full credit, you get demoted. Yehuda got demoted. Vayered Yehuda. Literally, Yehuda went down, but we know, Yered Yored Megidul Aso. He got demoted. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar Af Kover Isho Vanav. Okay, now this is where it gets a little bit hard, but, okay, I'll read and translate. And the Gemara says, and if you start a job and you don't close the deal, so you bury your wife and your kids. Dichsiv Vayamas Bashua Ishas Yehuda. Uksiv Vayamas Erva Onan. And all we're doing is just simply following the path of Yehuda. Yehuda ended up burying his wife. He ended up burying his children. And the Gemara attributes that to the fact that he started the job of saving Yosef, but he didn't close the deal. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Mimeima Nikra Yosef Atzmos Bechayav. So, you'll notice at the end of Sefer Bereishis, so he says that I want you to take my Atzmos out of here. Now, again, the simplest way to read the pasuk is that Yosef is just simply forecasting, meaning right now I'm here, and eventually, of course, after I die, so what's going to be remaining for me are the bones. Okay. That's the easy way to read the pasuk, but the Gemara is understanding that by him making a self-reference of his bones even before he's dead, so the Gemara says that was intentional, and the Gemara's understanding is Mimnei Shalomicha Bechvod Aviv. Dekamrele Avdecha Avina V'lo Amar Lehu V'lo Midi. And the Gemara says it's because he slighted his father's honor. When the brothers came and said, Avdecha Avdi, your servant, meaning they were talking to Yosef and they were describing their father, which also happens to be his father as well. Your servant, our father. So in other words, they described Yaakov as being a servant of Yosef. Now Yosef's a son. And I'm not sure how Yosef should have navigated. In other words, I understand the criticism. I don't know what Yosef should have done at that point in time. If, in fact, he wanted to conceal his identity. And I'm, whatever. Okay, let's just leave it at, I don't know what Yosef should have done. But, in other words, he at that point in time, allowed his father to be described as his servant. And he didn't object. And that's a pchas, that is a deficiency of the covet of his father. Yosef was the first one to die. Hopefully I remember correctly. He died at the age of 110, earlier than all the other brothers. So, because he conducted himself in a form of leadership. Now, it could just simply be that that he was just simply a leader. In other words, then as being a leader, you've heard me make this point before, by the way, and it's not an original point. Take a look at any four-year before and after picture of the presidency, and look how being the president ages you in 4 years' time. Okay, so and Yosef was a leader for much more than 4 years, right? For decades, Yosef was a leader. He was a leader already at 30 years of age. So basically from 30 to 110, here my math skills are out of control today. That's 80 years of being a leader. So in other words, so it ages you. But the Gemara could also be understood, Rabbanus also means that when you are not just a leader, but in other words, a certain manner in which you lead, which is, you know, basically controlling. And I'm a little bit, obviously I'm walking carefully over here as I'm wondering whether or not the Gemara is making a critical comment about Yosef, or the Gemara is just simply saying that he was a leader. V'Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, he was taken down to Mitzrayim, Amar Rabbi Elazar Al-Tikrei, Hurad Ela Horish, Arid Itztagnine Para Migdula San. Now, Yosef was taken down to Mitzrayim, and the word Hurad, so it's to be understood as Horid, meaning he caused others to receive a demotion. Meaning when Yosef was able to correctly interpret the dreams of Paro, so it wasn't that just Yosef was elevated, but obviously Paro for years has been turning to his astrologers, who he thought were good, and meanwhile it turned out Yosef is much better at predicting and forecasting, and so all those astrologers, they received a demotion. Vayakneo Potipharstris Paro. Okay, and now we're just, as long as we're by Yosef right now, so again, a little bit choppy over here, but we're going over some of the highlights of Yosef down in Mitzrayim. He was purchased by Potiphar. Amar Rav Shekano La'atzmo. So, Bagaril Upe Ro'o. Mi Karuksi Potiphar Lusof Potiphara. So, when Potiphar purchased Yosef, his original intention is that basically he wouldn't be just a slave, but he would be a sex slave, specifically for Potiphar. And Potiphar himself would sodomize Yosef. That was his original intent of purchasing him. Along comes Gavriel, and Gavriel castrates Potiphar. And you could see it in the Psukim. Originally, he was Potiphar, and then later is described as Potiphara. And Phara means reveal. In other words, basically, he was castrated. Mila Nagado Mi Moshe. Okay, we're back now by Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, we're right in the middle of your Gimel Amid Beis. And so, Moshe's burial. Okay, so we obviously talked about Yosef's burial, meaning Moshe was dealing with Yosef's burial, and now we get to Moshe's burial. So Milan Gadol by Moshe and Vayomer Hashem Elai Rav Lach. So in the beginning of Devarim, not the very beginning, this is the third perek. So Hashem says to Moshe, "I've heard enough." Right, the Vayomer Hashem Elai Rav Lach. Like in other words, you have enough. So Amar Rabbi Levi Barav Biser. So now, when Hashem chooses language, so obviously everything is intentional, and the word Rav over here corresponds to the way Moshe spoke to the Bnei Levi, specifically Korach, and he says Barav Bisruhu. So since he used the word Rav, so he himself was given the word Rav. More Mida Keneged Mida. Barav Biser. Rav Lachem. So when he talks to Korach, he says Rav Lachem. Meaning, what did Korach want? Korach wanted more. What did Hashem, what did Moshe say to Korach? He said to them, Rav Lach, you have enough. And so therefore, Barav Bisru, Rav Lach. So that's the same thing that Hashem said to Moshe. When Moshe was petitioning, Hashem says, same language, Rav Lach. So, Davar Acher, Rav Lach, Rav Yeshlach, Umanu Yoshua. Another interpretation of Rav Lach is that Hashem says to Moshe, in other words, there's a new leader. And that, of course, is Yoshua. Meaning, your time is up. It's now time for Yoshua. Davar Acher, Rav Lach, Shelo Yomru Harav Kama Kasha Vitami Kama Sarvan. So a third interpretation, Rav Lach, Hashem says to Moshe, in other words, I cannot hear another petition from you. Because if I hear another petition from you and I say no, so people are gonna say, that's rough. Meaning the Talmud is asking and he's asking again, repeated asking, and the Rav and the Master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not gonna capitulate. And so basically Hashem says to Moshe, you ask again and I say no, and it's just the optics are not gonna look good. And the Gemara says, based on the camel, that's the load. In other words, it's a common expression used throughout the Gemara that basically the stronger the camel, the more the camel is going to get loaded. And Rashi's understanding over here, lefum gam l'shechna, lefi koach hagam amar bim bimasa. Good, I just explained that. Avkan lefi tzidkaso medaktik acharav. Meaning the way Rashi seems to be understanding is that why did Hashem say no to Moshe, meaning Moshe is just simply asking, and I know it's not a simple request, but in other words, let me go into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara's answer, this is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara's answer, that basically, based on the camel, that's the way it's going to be loaded on, meaning the greater tzaddik you are, so in other words, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be judging you. Moshe was the greatest tzaddik, and so therefore he's going to be judged with the most scrutiny. So Moshe did what he did. Again, lengthy discussion to be inserted right now in terms of what exactly happened by the May Meriva. But, right, close parentheses, we're not discussing it right now. But whatever it was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was medaktik, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu was incredibly precise in scrutinizing the actions of Moshe, because Moshe was that big a tzaddik. Okay. Vayomer Aleihem, ben mea vesrim ashana anochi hayom, shein tam alomer hayom, Hayom malu yamayu ushnosai. So in other words, today I'm exactly 120. We already saw this before in this perek, that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar, died on the 7th of Adar. We saw that in yesterday's daf. And so when it comes to tzaddik, so tzaddik is perfected, and even his time that he's here on this earth is also going to be perfected as well. Moshe dies on the day that he's born. Lo uchal od latzeis v'lavo. When Moshe describes now that that's it, in other words, at this point in time, I have arrived at my end. He says, I can't come and go anymore. And the Gemara's interpretation, my latzeis v'lavo, ilem latzeis v'lavo, ma mishvaksiv Moshe ben me'av v'srim shana b'moso. Lo naslecho. So the Gemara says is that he was still vibrant. Literally, he had his moisture about him. But the expression just simply means that he had his strength. Uksiv vayal Moshe me'arvos mo'av al harnevo. Sorry, el harnevo. V'tanya shemesrei ma'alos ayusham. Upasa Moshe b'psia achas. There were 12 steps and Moshe was able to ascend in one leap. The Gemara's way of describing that, he had all of his strength. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonasan l'tzeis v'lavo b'divrei Torah melamed sheni statmu mimenu shari chachma. So, if what it does not mean is that Moshe was weak, because that's not what it means. So what does it mean, latzeis v'lavo? It means that Moshe now at that point in time saw that his chachma came to an end. In other words, he had a certain sharpness, he had a certain understanding, a certain clarity, and that came to an end. And at that point he understood, my time here on this earth has come to an end, my mission is complete. Vayelech Moshe v'yoshov v'yisaseh ba'ol moed. So vayelech. And they went, who? Moshe and Yehoshua. And the Gemara now makes the observation that this is unusual. Because usually who goes into Ohel Moed? Moshe. And here at the end of Moshe's life, who's going into Ohel Moed? Moshe and Yehoshua. Tana, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Oso Shabbos shel dio zugi haisa. So that was a duo Shabbos. Meaning on that Shabbos, when Moshe died. So, by the way, it sounds pretty clear from our Gemara that the death of Moshe not only occurred on the seventh day of Adar, but also coordinated with Shabbos as well. So Nitla Rishus Mitzev Nasna Lazeh. So that means to say that that was the passing of the baton from Moshe to Yeshua, and that's why the Torah describes the two of them going into the Ohel Moed. Am Rav Yehuda Yamale Mikra Kasov E Efshar La Omro Heichan Moshe Meis Bechelko Shel Reuven. So where did Moshe die? In the Chelek of Reuven, Dechzi, Vaya'al Moshe Me'arvos Moav El Har Nevo. Unevo Bechelko Sheruven Kaima. So we know that it was buried on Har Nevo. We know that Har Nevo was in the Chelek of Reuven. Dechzi, Vavnei Reuven Banu, right? And et cetera, et cetera. Ve'es Nevo. Ve'eche Moshe Kavar Bechelko Shogad. Dechzi, Vayar Reshis Lo. We also know that Moshe was buried in the Chelek of God. Umichelko Sheruven ad Chelko Shogad Kamahave. The distance between Reuven and God is Arba'a Milan. Osa Arba Mila Miholicho. So who took him from Reuven to God? So the Gemara says Malamish Aya Moshe Muta Bekanfe Shechina. So in the Kanfe Shechina. Kanfe Shechina was the one who escorted him from the Chelek of Reuven over to the Chelek of God. Umalach Yasharis Omrim. And as far as the Hespedim are concerned, the Malachim were involved in the actual eulogy. And the Gemara cites many psukim that were said by various Malachim. Tzitzkas Hashem Asa Umishpatav Im Yisrael, Vakarish Baruch Hu Omer, Miyakum Li Imrei, Miyisasev Li Impo Aleaven, Ushmuel Amar, Mi Kachacham Mi Yodea Pesher Davar, Rav Yochanan Amar, Hachachma Me'an Timatsev, Rav Nachman Amar, Avayama Shamosha, Smalyon Amar. Now, various opinions about which pasuk is said, and yes, in other words, if we were to pause and go slower, we would try to explain the significance of each pasuk and why each Amar felt that pasuk was the appropriate pasuk that was actually said. And Smalyon Amar. Now, here's a name that you're not going to be hearing that often, Smalyon. The only Tosfos on this Amud is in wonderment as to whether or not this is a name of an Amora. Alternatively, it's a name of a Malach. Okay? Right? Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chanan. Anyway, Smalyon Amar, Vayama Shamosha, Safar Rabba Yisrael. He was a Safar Rabba. He was a Sofer. He was a great scribe. Tanya. Yeah, let's finish it off. We're here. We got all the way here. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar, Gadol Amar, Shnei Masar Mil, Keneged Machane Yisrael. And Abraisa says that the resting place of Moshe was 12 mil by 12 mil, just like the encampment of the Jewish people. And what pasuk was said, or what eulogy was said, Vayamas Moshe Safar Abed Yisrael. Meaning the Gemara quotes Abraisa, that is in agreement with that last opinion that we saw, the opinion of Smalyon. V'yeshur mim lameis Moshe, some are of the position that Moshe never died. Ksiv hacha, vayam hasham, ksiv hasam, vayisham im hashem, samalahalan, omen mishamishav, kan omen mishamish. And just like by his 40 days up in Shamayim, obviously Moshe did not experience death. Even in death, Moshe didn't experience death. Okay. Vayikvor so begay, be'eretz Moav mul beis pa'or. And he was buried in the valley. Be'eretz Moav. Amar Abirachya, simon besoch simon. Meaning we're given one marker after another marker in terms of where Moshe is buried. With all this information, we should know where Moshe is buried, right? Wrong. We don't know where Moshe is buried. Meaning the pasuk says we don't know where it's buried. Meaning the Gemara is just highlighting the enigma of how many different ways the Torah describes where Moshe is buried, and we still don't know where he's buried. Okay, and obviously, right, lessons to be learned in terms of where the fact that we don't know where Moshe is buried. Ukvar shalcha machus harasha eitzel gistero shel beis por. You know what? Perfect. Well, let's stop right over here. Ukvar shalcha. Okay, wonderful. Mamish, we did the entire daf. Let's quickly recap. Okay, these are marathons. Okay, good. Anyway, we covered over the course of this morning the rest of the episode of Shmos, meaning the beginning of Shmos, Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, and again, the Midah Keneged Midah that was associated with Miriam. And that took us through the beginning of today's daf. Then, the burial of Yosef on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Midah Keneged Midah, Moshe was involved in the burial of Yosef. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe, Midah Keneged Midah. And so, the burial of Yosef that was taken care of by Moshe, so that covered a good part of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, about to the two-third point, the three-quarter mark at the end. Then, Milanu Gadol Mi Yosef, Now, in terms of the burial of Moshe, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of the burial of Moshe.
Good.
And the Gemara goes and describes how, continues to describe how Moshe took care of Yosef, how Moshe discovered the Aron of Yosef, exactly where was it? Two opinions in the Gemara, exactly where it was, and how Moshe uncovered it. As we move to the Amud Beis in terms of our review, the Gemara being, right, seemingly harshly critical of Moshe for starting the job of the burial of Yosef, but not finishing the job. And what happens, in other words, certainly the lesson to be learned, the fact that Moshe receives the amount of criticism that he does seems to be harsh, but still, the lesson for us to learn, obviously, is that you start a job, you finish a job. In other words, starting the job and not finishing the job, the Gemara's got a lot of harsh things to say about such an individual. Obviously, we should all look to be closers when it comes to mitzvahs and in business as well. Okay, and then the Gemara also spent a little bit of time regarding Yosef and Mitzrayim and Potiphar, just a little bit. And then finally, the rest of today's daf, you get Muhammad Bey's halfway down to the very bottom. So we spoke about the burial of Moshe, right? Details regarding when he died, where he died, where he was buried. So, and the fact that even though we know where he was buried, we don't know where he's buried. Good. Adkan. That takes us to the end of today's daf.